This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Tech Talk underway on a Saturday. 651-989-9226. If you want to talk to Doug about your computer, hardware, software, whatever. Doug joins us remotely today on the phone lines. But once again, if you want to call or text, 651-989-9226 is the phone number. Doug, how you been?
Absolutely wonderful. Just swamped with phone calls. People are really concerned about this latest update they got if they're running Windows 7. It just starts popping up, telling them to hurry up and switch to 10. I'm not sure why Microsoft even bothered.
Yeah, and I got asked a couple of times at my other job during the week by people who have Windows 7, and I said, well, we talk about it on Tech Talk a fair amount. If your computer's running fine, don't upgrade. And there's a lot of people that were saying, yeah, but they said it was free and I could back up my files and upgrade to 10. What is going on, Doug? Do they want people off Windows 7 that bad?
They really do. Once you have Windows 7 or Windows 8 and you upgrade to Windows 10, you completely invalidate your license. And it really, I believe Microsoft is moving towards software as a service, and they're eventually probably going to be either billing people monthly or quarterly or annually or however they plan to do it. And I just, I'm leery. I'm just leery of the way that they're going about this. And this latest update, now many of my users, we've shut off all the updates in Windows 7 and 8. And they didn't get any of these annoying pop-ups. But for the folks that haven't shut off their updates, I'm not certain exactly what all Microsoft has sent. I hope to get some time next week to find something that I can actually take a look at and figure out if there's more than just the annoying pop-up. I don't know. I'm hoping not, but we'll just have to wait and see.
And Doug, what do you recommend? Once again, if people have Windows 7, or for that matter, Windows 8, and it's running fine, what steps should people take if they're not comfortable with upgrading to Windows 10 right now?
The very first thing would be to jump on Google in the search box and find one, two, or three websites that describe in detail how to completely stop updates from the Microsoft server. Go through and do that. And in my opinion, that would even include Microsoft Security Essentials, Defender, Windows Media Player, anything that communicates with the update server. After that, upgrade to a commercial antivirus and malware, and they should be good to go. Now, after this latest update, everybody should really download and run ADW Cleaner just to make sure there isn't some kind of a nasty thing happening in the background. I'm not going to blame Microsoft because nobody can prove anything like that, But I'm just concerned. It's just, in my mind, Steve, here's the thing. I just can't see any motivation Microsoft could possibly have to keep people's computers running. I can see all kinds of motivation for them to have them update and be more tied to the control of the large corporation. And maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I can't prove any of it, but I'm very suspicious. And that's my point of view.
All right. 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Call or text. Phone lines are open right now. And inevitably, we run out of time at the end of the program, so call or text early, and we'll try and get you on the program here on what's turned out to be a chilly, windy day. 9 degrees, winter storm warning in effect until 6 o'clock tonight. By the way, we'll have an update on the weather from our Lennox Premier Dealers Heating and Cooling Storm Center at about 1:30 today. Let's go to the phones. Dick in Bloomington, you're on the air with Doug.
Hi, guys. My brother has a 9-year-old HP computer with Windows 7, but his most important software is his annual tax software from H&R Block, which this year, it says, requires a minimum of Windows 8.1. What are his options? And I have one other question.
I really would have to take issue with that. If it's running a 64-bit or a 32-bit, 7 and 8.1 should certainly run just fine. And the H&R Block program, from what I can tell, they also have a web-based version. If they offer something for a Mac and Windows, I just don't know how H&R Block could be that far behind to dictate the software that was required. There's really not a whole lot of difference as far as installation of that software that I know of. That's very unusual. I can't think of another package that would require 8.1 and not be able to install on 7. That's a first.
All right, Doug, let's get a follow-up from Dick.
Yeah, my brother also frequently gets a message of no hard drive, which he cancels, and then it seems to work fine.
Oh, that's bizarre. I'd like to take a look at that. I think he's possibly had a hard drive in there at one time as an external, and it's directing to a drive that no longer exists. That one needs some cleanup. This would be just a prime example where CCleaner would just be a tremendous value on that computer. But there's something else going on here. It's also possible. Some of these printers have USB drives, and if they swapped out and got a different printer, that also would show up as being like a network drive. But it shouldn't be searching for that drive ever. That's he's got some confusion on the configuration part. And if he can't figure that out, have him call me. I'd like to take a look at this one. This one sounds challenging.
All right, we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program. If you want to talk to Doug or send a text, 651-989-9226. Doug bought the Epson Echo Tank printer as you suggested. Do you know how to fine-tune the color so it prints more closely to what I see on my monitor? And I spend my weekdays full time in the printing business, and that is a big job. What you see on your monitor and what you want to print out on a piece of paper, boy, that is there's a lot going on there.
This is a huge issue. Monitors might be off just a tenth.
Yep.
The printers might be off just a tenth. To get a perfect what you see is what you get is really, really difficult. And even when you get it to match on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, by Friday or Saturday, it may be off just a smidge. The human eye, if you've got a good eye for color, it's really sensitive, very sensitive. And to match two separate devices, one that you're viewing in a static format and one that you're looking at as hard print, hard copy, oh, well, you're in the business. I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
Well, yeah, This is a gigantic challenge because you're absolutely right. How your monitor's set up, how the browser, how all of those things render that color, and then in turn, what is sent to the printer and what kicks out. And typically, an off-the-shelf printer is going to do a nice job and print out a document, or for that matter, even print out photos. But printing companies and a lot of professional firms spend a lot of money on color calibration software, and this is a big deal. And you know, I think for consumer printers, it is what it is for the most part.
Exactly, and just consider you've got your monitor here, and some of the newer monitors will actually change the brightness during the day according to the room brightness.
Yeah.
If you know yourself, Steve, that if I lower the light, lower the brightness on a monitor, well, the whole color changes. This is an ongoing battle. It's been going on forever. There is no instant fix to this.
Yeah, and one of the other things you can do, and printers I've had over the years, desktop printers, etc., you can go in and you can go into the advanced settings and play around with some of the color curves, because they're creating colors typically out of a red, blue, yellow type scenario. They're rendering these colors from other colors, so you can play with the curves, but it takes some playing, and it'll take some time. But generally on your printer, if you want to get into the advanced settings, you can change those color curves to get closer to what you're looking for, but it is not easy. We've got a break. We've got more with Doug. It is Tech Talk, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. We continue Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart joining us. One follow-up on the printer thing. Typically in the printing business, four color process is CMYK, cyan, magenta, yellow, and black. That is generally used by even a printer you may have on your desktop. You have the cyan cartridge, the magenta cartridge, the yellow cartridge, and the black cartridge, and your printer uses those four to create all the colors ultimately in the rainbow. Meanwhile, on the flip side, your monitor uses dots, if you will.
That's right.
And that's why you see differences. Red, green, and blue are kind of used to create the colors you'll see on a monitor.
That's exactly correct. And in addition to that, monitors in general also have an angle to these dots. And sometimes, and that's not the same in four-color separation in the printing industry, and that angle will also change with different monitors. And really, if you're really interested in that close of color matching, one at home has no choice but to print the paper and adjust it via the printer. That's our only option.
Yeah. So it does get complicated, and getting something on the monitor to what it looks like on the paper, that can be a major challenge. All right, let's go to the phone lines again, and let's start with Robin in Bloomington. Robin, you're on the air with Doug.
Hi. I have Windows 7, and I have turned off the updates, but are there any individual updates I should look for, like, for instance, for Media Player?
Yeah, there is Windows Media Player, and anything if you have Windows 10, I say just look at the apps compared to the software. Whatever connects to the Microsoft Store. In Windows 7, it's a little bit different. The Windows Media Player, I would take out from the control panel, add, remove programs, and then on the left side of that particular screen, you'll see Windows features turn on and off. I actually go into that and I uncheck Internet Explorer, get rid of that, take out almost everything in there, except for searching files, because you don't want to slow that down. And leave, in addition, you would want to leave access to the shell. And if you need my help, I'll help you. I immediately then download VLC Media Player, which fills that gap instant. And it actually will run faster and cleaner and never, ever ask to download a codec. And then you're going to want to go into your services as well. In your services, you can actually shut off some things that will prevent the triggering of your updates being back on. Best advice I could give you is there's a ton of websites that discuss this. Start with GWX Control Panel, and it's G as in George, W as in Winter, X Xavier Control Panel, and that's the perfect place to begin. And if you get that, run that, and that will at least give you an advance. Separate updates coming in. Once they're in, you will have some difficulty taking them out individually, but it can be done. Sometimes it's best just to start fresh with a reinstall of 7 and rock and roll. But I would get on that right away. And thank you for the call.
All right, Robin, good call to get us started here on Tech Talk. And by the way, 651-989-9226, call or text. Let's go to Linda, Coon Rapids. Linda, you're on the air.
Okay. I just wanted to ask about the update with Gmail. Windows 10 is what we have, and it kept saying update your Gmail. So I updated it, and the Google screen came on and said, click in your password, which I did. It was already on there. I just went to the next screen, and Windows popped up and said, we are going to do whatever we want with your Gmail, and do you accept it? And I did accept it, and now I'm wondering if I should decline it.
This is a question that I'm having trouble getting answered myself. I have been searching for this for several days at this point. I don't have a good answer for you yet. I don't quite understand what Microsoft has to do with web-based Gmail. I'm not sure. It's got a whole bunch of us just completely befuddled. I'm going to keep searching on that, and hopefully we'll be able to have an answer next week. Thank you for the call.
All right, Linda, that is a tough one, and it can be scary. On any of these updates, we started the show with this. People, particularly with Windows 7, hey, I got this pop-up that says, I better update to Windows 10 right now. I mean, you kind of go, what do I do?
Well, and the ugly part that it just is mind-boggling to me. For the last 3 or 4 weeks, there's been little articles popping up on the Internet, and it's kind of like, shh, listen, I got a secret. You can still get Windows 10 for free. Mm. And it's almost like they are trying to nudge people's deceitful nerves to just go get it. It's free. And I look at the article a little bit closer. Takes you right to Microsoft and gives you a link to Microsoft. It's like, well, if Microsoft wanted to stop that, they would have stopped it easily. So I'm not really quite certain this motivation to stop everybody's software that they actually have already paid for and legally can have and use forever. I think that the scare tactics are too much, and I just don't know how aggressive they're going to get with trying to wipe this product off the face of the earth. I don't know. I'm bothered by the whole thing and can't always respond.
All right, Doug, quick break. We'll come back. Claudia, St. Paul, Tim, and Champlin. We have more with Doug on Tech Talk. We'll go to the text line as well. We have a number of texts to dig into as well here on the program. Once again, our number for a call or a text, 651-989-9226. It is 128. Weather in a moment here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Tech Talk continues. Doug Swinhart is in. Steve Thompson, Jonathan Lowe is our producer. 651-989-9226. And without further ado, let's get back to the phone lines. Let's bring in Claudia in St. Paul. Claudia, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for such a great program. I sure miss you when you're not on.
Oh, thank you.
I have an older Epson workforce printer, and it's a Lenovo laptop that I have spent many hours trying to get to connect. The printer works fine, and it works fine with a cheap tablet. I've tried everything, and I saw something online about other people having the problem having to do with an update that Microsoft had in September. Would you know anything about that?
I do, actually. I can't recall the exact update, but if you remove that update, your printer will come back to life. And the best thing to do is first try to completely remove the printer, which I'm sure you've already done, and just start fresh. If you want to give me a call sometime next week, I'm just swamped for the next couple of days, but Tuesday or Wednesday, I'll try to connect up remotely and get this thing taken care of for you. I've dealt with this quite a bit since that update came out. I wish I could remember the actual update number, but that is one update that we can go in and just simply remove. That should do it. And it seems to affect Lenovo more than the rest of them. And I know, too, there are several models of HPs that are dealing with this, and Asus as well. I don't have an instant answer. We will get it. I like those workforce printers. Those are great printers.
All right.
If I'm not mistaken, if you've got this thing set up with wireless, it should work. If you're using wireless on one device and a USB cable on another, that, too, can create the problem. But we'll get you taken care of, and I wish I had something instant.
Yeah, Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program. And once again, these updates can sometimes cause more problems than they're worth, that's for sure. By the way, our phone number is 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Phone number or text number is the same here on Tech Talk and all our other programs here on CCO. Doug, someone was wondering what you typically charge to take an older computer, put a solid-state drive in it, and upgrade it to Linux. What are people or what should they expect to pay for something like that?
Nearly everything I do is on a flat fee basis, and it's going to sound a little bit strange, but I try to be as fair as possible. I generally will quote $300 flat fee and then $250 for cash, but I always, if it's an old computer, I just don't have the heart to have people pay me more than what I would believe that it would be worth if they sold it. So I try to stay underneath that. You got to keep people happy. And that's the one advantage I have is I can say, well, okay, we'll take care of this and we'll do this, but I don't want to charge more people different prices, but you really have no choice. You can't charge somebody $250 for a computer that might be worth $150. And the flat fee I do primarily because I don't want to be thinking about time. And people will tell you I might be worth waiting for. I hope they feel that way. But I don't want people to worry about counting minutes. It's a situation where it's one-on-one, but very, very rarely will I go above 200 to 250. And I don't sell hardware, so whatever they want to do with hardware is certainly up to them. And hardware today is really reasonable. And by the way, that's expected to go up this year for first time in many, many years. So it's going to be an interesting year coming up here. I hope that answered their question, but I will always give them a quote, and I'm not going to let them ever. I don't want anybody feeling they were overcharged ever.
All right. Could you walk us through how to load Linux on a USB and then how to run it without installing it on a Windows 7? Can you put it on, once again, maybe a USB drive and have it there and try it out?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, there is a website called Pendrive Linux. And if they email me and just put how to install Linux in the header, I will set up an auto response and give them several websites. It gets kind of lengthy, but you're going to download whichever distribution of Linux you want to run, I would probably recommend Linux Mint and XFCE. Make sure you get 32 or 64-bit, whichever your computer is capable. Most computers today will require 64-bit. And you will download what's called an ISO file. And that file, you will use the software from Pendrive Linux. And that software, once you've got a USB in there, will just automatically copy that ISO file right straight to the USB drive and automatically create it. So it is a bootable device. From that point, you just have to go into your BIOS settings and set up your boot order so the USB drive is first and restart, and it will go right to the USB drive, will not interfere with your hard drive, and you can take it for a test drive. Just keep in mind that Linux is going to run much, much slower coming off the USB drive than it will a hard drive. As long as you keep that in mind, you can test browsers, you can see if your hardware is capable, and if you are, almost every distribution I know of has a small icon on the desktop that says install, and if you click on that and it recognizes that you have Windows 7 or Windows 10, as long as Windows 10 isn't completely controlling the boot record, it will advise a dual boot and actually create a dual boot menu. It's much easier than what most people think it is. Once they go through it, it's a piece of cake. There are tons of YouTube videos that will walk you through step by step. And even Pendrive Linux has got a small page. I think it's about 5 or 6 steps. So I don't think anybody should be intimidated by this. Give it a whirl. And make sure that you go to distrowatch.com, DISTROWATCH.com, DistroWatch. That will give you a tremendous list of Linux versions, show you what country they're developed from, and their rating, how many people have downloaded it. It's just a wealth of information. Just pick a good one. And if the first one doesn't work, try another one.
Right.
It might seem time-consuming, but it will be well worth your effort and well worth your time. Once you start to play around with this, it's not going to take long to get the feeling like, well, I really can control this computer. And they really can. The security base in Linux is just so tremendous. I just can't say enough good things about it. So, and we don't seem to have in the open source community, we don't seem to have the amount of confusion that we seem to get from the commercial softwares these days. This just the Gmail thing just got me just bewildered. If you're running a browser, and Windows 10 blames Gmail. And Gmail said, well, why would we do that? We want people's Gmail to run. So we never know who really to hold responsible. I can't understand why they just don't get together, take a couple hours, throw the teams together, and just get it fixed. If we want people to have access to Gmail and want Windows 10 to run, should be a simple matter at this point. But here again, it's my opinion, and I wish I had more answers.
Let's go to the phones. David in St. Paul. David, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, hello. This is David in West St. Paul, and I love your show. It's great. I'm trying to listen to it every Saturday if I can. I got a quick question. I got an iMac that's 12 years old, maybe 2008, I think, vintage. Trying to keep it going. It's a wonderful machine, but we're running into some problems now that says startup disk full, and our mail will quit unexpectedly. Now, I've heard of a product called Clean My Mac 3. Is that something that I could do on my own?
Absolutely. And if I'm not mistaken, Clean My Mac 3 has a free version that you can run. It might be a trial version. And I have used that a ton. And in addition to that, there's another product that might be more appropriate for your age, Mac. And it's Onyx, just like the Black Stone. And that is a freeware, shareware program. And that does a great job of cleaning up old machines as well. When you are working with a Mac and you're looking for software like this, make absolutely certain that you pick the download that is the exact match for your version of OS X and your hardware. Take a little time to just make sure you coordinate those. If we try to install a different version, it might cause conflicts. But the Mac OS X is generally quite forgiving if for something like that. But it'll go a lot smoother. Say, for example, a MacBook Pro might be an 8,1, 8,2, and then, of course, there's that five-digit code. And once you get that figured out, you're golden. There is a website as well that if you put your serial number in, it will actually tell you exactly what you have for the production model, when it came out, and I don't have that website off the top of my head, but I bet I can find it while we're still on the air, Steve. And thank you for the call. I hope that helps.
Quick break. We've got a ton of calls to get to out of the break. Frank, Ray, Chuck, all waiting. We'll go to the text line one more time as well. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart joining us via the phone line today. We have 9 above. Our wind chill in the teens below zero. Winds out of the west at 24 miles an hour with higher gusts. Wind chill at the moment stands at 12 below. Here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. We continue on Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart joining us today. And let's go to the phones and bring in Frank in Plymouth. Frank, you're on the air.
Oh, afternoon, Doug. Thank you for taking my call. Question relates to antivirus recommendations that you might think of for laptop. And it's also, do you think it's needed for smartphones? I was looking at Bitdefender versus Webroot. What's your thoughts?
If I was looking between those two, I'd be going with Bitdefender. Bitdefender has actually made some serious changes the last couple of months, which is a good thing. Generally, I will recommend Malwarebytes as well for a computer PC. Bitdefender, with their recent changes, they're right back in the running. I have to be honest and tell you that I've never been a big fan of Webroot. I think it takes too much resources, and it's been a while since I looked at it. So, again, things in this business change in light years. But at the same time, once I have a bad experience, so to speak, it kind of sticks with me. And Webroot, I've had problems uninstalling it. I've had problems controlling it. And I just think that you're much better off with Bitdefender. Bitdefender, on the other hand, is lean and mean, and it just rock and rolls. I think today many of these businesses are adding on things once they sell somebody something that, well, they always said, got to have this, got to have the protection, got to have password manager. And pretty soon it's just almost annoying. I think they need to just calm down a little bit on the sales and stick to a little bit more of the support. They would become much more popular much quicker. And it's a tough business these days, very competitive. And I hope that answered your question.
Let's go to the phones. We got a number of calls to squeeze in before the end of the program. Ray in Brooklyn Park. Ray, you're on the air with Doug.
Hey, Doug, thanks for this Tech Talk. We are so attuned to it, we set aside every 1 o'clock hour on Saturday for you.
Well, listen, nice. I'm a guest of Steve Thompson's show, so yeah, I appreciate the thank you, but we got to thank Steve, too.
Well, thank you, too, Steve.
Yeah, no problem, Ray. What do you got for Doug?
You referred a couple of times earlier this afternoon to removing particular updates from Microsoft. Is there an ABC-type procedure for doing that?
You know, that's a big question, too. With the way that Windows is set up, if people start to customize, which we all do, it will actually change Windows. And generally speaking, you can go into the control panel, into the add remove programs, and find most of those, but not all updates will show up in there. There are specific software packages that will give you better access to this. If you happen to have Windows Professional 7, 8, or 10, you really have much better control over this. And the way that Microsoft ties these things together with Dynamic Link Libraries and ties it together with your Task Manager, sometimes you can take out an update and it pops right back in. Doesn't even let you know that it's connected to the update server. So it's it really gets kind of hairy on watching that kind of thing. But it is possible. Start with the control panel. If it's a simple update, you can generally take it out there. And if you need some help with that, there's plenty of resources on the internet, but anytime you run a search on the net, never take one point of view. Get three or four, because anybody can post anything on the internet. And just kind of got to train yourself to say, well, this one looks the most reasonable, and give it a try. Just remember what you did so you can undo it. And it won't hurt to get all your files copied to a hard drive to make sure, in case you have to, you can reinstall from the ground up. And that's, I think we're to a point where most users should be able to do that at this point. If first time through, it's going to be scary after that, just like old hat. And thank you for the call.
To the phone lines again, Chuck in Apple Valley. Chuck, go quick.
Doug, thanks for this. Just trying to figure out how to improve network speeds from a wireless router that's located, you know, down in my basement to another part of the house. I've actually extended an Ethernet wire, so I'm wired to the access point, but Charter recently upgraded my service and supposedly 200 to 400 download speeds. I get that on the router, but the access point, I'm only getting about 25 to 30.
I would be checking that cable. Something else that you might want to look at is there, you are actually able to network by using your AC, your electric, but both of the plugins have to be on the same wired circuit. And I think you're better off by fine-tuning that extender. There is software available that will analyze your wireless system. And this can get a little bit hairy, but if you just work at it a little bit, you will achieve this. Also, look for obstructions in your house. Cement walls, a lot of metal, passing through a microwave even from one room to another. All these things can affect your Wi-Fi signal. That really is a huge thing. And the equipment that you have connecting to your broadband or your wireless also is going to be a factor. Not all routers will allow you to have different Wi-Fi speeds with different devices. Some routers, if you've got, they just automatically shift to the slowest device. And I kind of feel in my stomach that might be what you're dealing with. And if you can't get it, feel free to give me a call and I'll do whatever I can to help you. Thank you for the call.
All right, Doug's phone number and email coming up in a moment. My mom and dad switch services from one provider to another. And I just said, have the wireless router installed in a spot in an area of the house where you and dad use your stuff. That's the kitchen, the living room, and a little porch they have near the kitchen where they have a TV. And they had the router installed there because that's where they use the lion's share. They stream on the TV. They use their laptops, and it's paid out dividends. It's easy for the installers to put it down in a basement where the lines come into the house. But in general, if you're getting a new service installed, have that router where you use most of your stuff.
That is absolutely the best advice you could have mentioned. If you try to get it close to where you're going to be the majority of the time, that's huge. And keep in mind now, your Wi-Fi is going to run 5 gigahertz, runs much faster than 2.4. But 2.4 gives you longer distance. And many of these routers, almost all of them today, will automatically switch from 5 gigahertz to 2.4 gigahertz as you are moving around.
Yeah.
I just updated a small card in Nancy's 13-inch Toshiba, $30 on Amazon, and I took that Wi-Fi from 30 megabits per second download speed to 180.
Wow.
$30.
All right, Doug, we got to run.
Company called Killer Networks, beautiful piece of equipment, and that might be necessary as well.
Yeah, Doug, we've got to run. We apologize to all those texts and calls we didn't get to. Next week, we have Twins Fest. So, Doug, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Once again, we'll be live at Twins Fest next Saturday here on News Talk 830 WCCO. So, once again, we'll visit with Doug on Tech Talk in 2 weeks. Doug, your phone number and email.
Thank you. 651-552-9543, And, of course, WCCOTech.com. WCCOTECH.com. 651-552-9543. Have a good week, Steve.
All right. Talk to you in 2 weeks, Doug.
Thank you.
Once again, we'll be live at Twins Fest next Saturday here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.